Greetings to all of you on this wonderful Sunday evening of March the 27th. Take your sing along the ways and turn to number 26. Number 26, one of the great hymns of the Christian church. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not that it was for me he died on Calvary. But one day I learned it. How about you? Now, wonderful.
Last night I went to Galilee, and in my mind I walked along the sea. I saw my Savior as he walked and taught the word. And as I listened, I believed every word I heard. Like he walked in Galilee. Today I take his place and live in love and grace. I can do all he did and more. When I read God's word, it burns in my heart. It's so show him how he can be born again. And as we share the joy of salvation so free, I'll think back to my Savior in Galilee. Today I take his place and live in love and grace.
Father, we thank you for the ineffable greatness of your word, the power of your Holy Spirit, all that's been made available to us through Christ Jesus, your only begotten Son, our Lord and our Savior, and how thankful we are this wonderful night here at the Way International for all the great love wherewith you loved us and all the mercy that you've showered upon us. Thank you, Father, for our children, our young people, and our adults. And may this be a wonderful evening and a wonderful week for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless. You may be seated. It's a tremendous evening, a wonderful evening, because of so many things that are occurring. I'm real grateful and real thankful for this wonderful night. Walter will be talking to you about the premiering of a film this night. Later on, it'll be all over the country among our people. But to me, the most exciting thing and the thing we're praying about is tomorrow morning we launch the building of the WOW, the Word Over the World Auditorium. And that's a 21-month project. But it should give us another great center from which the Word of God can be taught. I believe it should be the greatest center of teaching in the world. And we just prayed about this in the back before we came out here. And these things are real close to my heart, and I'm sure they're close to yours. So We just expect to have a wonderful night here tonight and also a wonderful week. I'd like for you to take your Bibles tonight and please turn to Mark chapter 13. Also, underneath all of your chairs here at the Way International Headquarters, you have a calendar, which we had Xerox for you today, so that I could share with you some of the great things that I have in my heart regarding this particular Sunday. And as I told you, I wanted to share on the cloak of tradition or about it. Now, those of you who have dialed a Sunday night, you're just going to have to listen and perhaps make your own calendar as you go along. But if I were you listening tonight, at least I'd make some notes. Tradition has pretty well shrouded and clouded the truth of the Scriptures regarding that which had occurred in the history of our world at the time Jesus Christ was here upon earth. Not only have I given you a Xerox copy of the calendar I'm going to be opening for you tonight and sharing with you, but up here on the board, I've also had them to make this for me so that I could do my best to teach you some of the great truths that I want to share with you tonight. On the board up here, as well as on your sheets of paper, you will notice that the 8th of the month of Nisan was 6 days before the Passover. And on that day, that which is recorded in John chapter 12, verses 1 to 11 occurred. But today, on this Sunday, all over our country as well as the countries of the world, they celebrated or are celebrating what is called Palm Sunday, in which they will endeavor to read from the Scriptures about the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. The truth is, from the Word, that there were two triumphal entries. One was on Friday and the other on Saturday. However, there was none on Sunday. So the very teaching today all over the world regarding the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ on Sunday, Palm Sunday, is not true. It is the cloak of tradition that has so deeply ingrained itself in the lives of people that they continue to propound that error. The first entry to Jerusalem was on Friday the 9th. And on your sheets of paper, you have the Scriptures, Mark 11, 1 to 11, Luke 19, 29 to 44, and John 12, 12 to 19. Then on Saturday, and this Saturday, the 10th of Nisan, is interesting because Saturday is the weekly Sabbath. That's what the word Saturday means, Sabbath. Sabbath means Saturday, or Saturday Sabbath. And on the 10th of Nisan was when they selected the lamb for the Passover. And that on that day, there was a second entry into Jerusalem. The first entry was the entry of judgment. The second was the entry of the king. First he came as a judge. The second entry was as a king. And that record is in Matthew 21, 1 to 17, Mark 11, 12 to 19, and Luke 19, 45 and 46. Now, before we get into this particular day, Sunday, which according to the Hebrew calendar is the 11th of Nisan, I want to give you some truths that you need to know. The day in a Hebrew calendar, in the Hebrew time, started with sunset. Our day starts at midnight. It's about the craziest time to start a day. But that's what you and I were brought up with. So we start a day at midnight. And one of the reasons of all the confusion and all the tradition is that they have never rightly divided or presented to the people the truth. And that is that the day started at sunset. Now, the length of days of a day, daylight hours, varied depending upon whether it was winter, spring, summer, or fall. They varied from, an hour varied from 49 minutes to 71 in the Hebrew time reckoning. But in order for me to teach this tonight and to make it so simple and living and real for you, I want to set something so that nobody can misunderstand. We're going to talk about sunset at 6 p.m. Now, you understand, I've just told you that it varied, but the Jewish day or the Hebrew day, Judean day, always started with sunset. But the time of sunset would vary, depending on whether it was spring, summer, winter, fall. But for teaching purposes, let's say sunset was at 6 o'clock, sunrise at 6, okay? Now what you should understand, that in the Roman period, the period of the Lord Jesus Christ, they divided the night not into hours like we do, but into watches. They had four watches of the night. Sunset to 9 p.m. was the first watch. The second was from 9 p.m. to 12 midnight. The third was from 12 midnight to 3 a.m. And the fourth watch was from 3 a.m. to sunrise. In Mark chapter 13, we have all of these mentioned in one verse. So get your Bibles and look at it. 13, verse 35. Everybody's eyes in the Word. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. At what? Even? Or literally it means between the evenings. Or at midnight. Or at the cock crowing. Or in the what? Morning. There you have all four mentioned in one verse. Sunset to 9 p.m. was the even. 9 p.m. to 12 was the midnight watch. The cock crowing watch was from 12 to 3. And the morning watch was from 3 a.m. to sunrise. Now from sunrise to sunset, people, they divided that period into hours, and they called it the first hour. So from sunrise, let's say at 6, sunrise to 7 would be the first hour. 7 to 8 would be what? And 8 to 9 would be what? Now remember, from the scriptures, Jesus Christ was crucified the third hour, which would correspond to 9 o'clock, or in that period of time, our reckoning. And there was darkness upon the face of the earth from 12 noon till 3, and he died at the ninth hour, which would be what time in the afternoon? 3 o'clock. And that 3 o'clock hour was the same hour in which the Passover lamb was killed by the Hebrews. One more thing. I've got on your papers and up here on the board Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. These names are not known in the Bible. Hebrews, and the Bible goes by the first day of the week, which we know as Sunday, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, and the seventh day of the week, which was a Sabbath day, from which we get the word Saturday. Now let me tell you about the months. The months started with the new moon. Whenever there was the first little crack of the moon, that was the first of the month. They always started with the new moon. So from new moon to new moon made one month. And the months then would vary in length. I have on this board, as well as on your papers, the month of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, according to the Hebrew calendar. It corresponds, this month in the Hebrew corresponds to our month of March and April. Over here at the top, you see the name Nisan, the word Nisan. Nisan is what this first month of the Hebrew year was called after the Babylonian captivity. After they came back from Babylon out of captivity and rebuilt the city of Jerusalem and so forth, is when they called the first month of the year Nisan. Before that period of time, it was called Abib, A-B-I-B. In Exodus chapter 13, Exodus chapter 13, in verse 4, this day came ye out, that's out of the land of Egypt, this day came ye out in the month, what? Abib. There's the word Abib. That's what the word, what the month was called before the Babylonian captivity. Later on, when they went in the Babylonian captivity, when they came out, they renamed that month Abib and they called it what? Nisan. And that is what it's still called today in the Hebrew calendar. I perhaps should have shown you a scripture from Genesis a while ago, which I forgot to do. So I better show it to you now. Genesis chapter 1. In verse 5, and God called the light what? And the darkness he what? And the evening and the morning were the what? First day. So, in what we call a day, the first part of the Hebrew day was the evening. The night preceded the daylight hours. You understand? In our reckoning today, it starts at midnight. That's about as screwy as you can get. Start a day at midnight. But all you need to do to put the word together, and as I'm going to do for you tonight, is just think a little bit. Just think. The day started with sunset. And it closed then with sunset. So the night would come preceding the daylight hours. You understand? Now in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, in verse 2, it said, this month shall be unto you beginning of month. It's the first month of the year to you. That's Abib, but it became called Nisan. In the beginning of the month, the first month of the year, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their father. Call his neighbor in. His house. Take it according to the number of their souls, every man, and so forth. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without what? Blemish. A male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from among the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it unto what day? The 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it when? In the evening. Between the hours of 3 and sunset is between the evenings. They were to take the male lamb on the 10th of the month. Is that what it said? Right. And they were to keep it all the way through and get it ready for what period of time? What did it say? In verse 6, all the way through, to the 14th day of the same what? Month. Now, can you remember that? 10 to 14? Okay, now just don't go home. Leviticus is next. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23. Verse 5, everybody's eyes in the Word. In the 14th day of the first month at even, between the evenings, between 3 p.m. and sunset, is the Lord's what? Right. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of what? Unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have a holy convocation. So the 15th of Nisan would be a holy what? And the word convocation is Sabbath. A holy Sabbath. Ye shall do no menial or servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire on the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a what? Holy convocation. Holy convocation, a holy day, a high day, a Sabbath day. Here is the weekly what? Sabbath. Was the weekly Sabbath a holy day? Right. But you could also have other holy days or holy convocations, holy Sabbaths besides the weekly one. We do this every year at the Happy Household Holiday time in the world. If that particular day called Christmas comes on Wednesday, is it a holiday? A holy day? Is Sunday still a holy day to the people? Okay. So, this 15th of Nisan, the 14th was the Passover, but the 15th was a what? Holy day. So the 15th was also a Sabbath. Capital S. It was a Sabbath. It was a holy day. Wherein they were not to do any menial work, as the scripture says. Now go to the Gospel of John, people. The Gospel of John, chapter 19. The Jews, therefore, Judeans, therefore, because it was the preparation. I mean, 1931 of John. Should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a what? Besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be what? Taken away. Because it was the preparation. The 14th was the final day of preparation. And on the 14th, between 3 p.m. and sunset, and every one of those marks on here represents sunset, which starts a new day. Between 3 p.m. on the 14th and sunset, they had to kill the Passover lamb, get it ready to eat on that night of the 14th, which opened the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The eating of the Passover lamb was the official forerunner and opening of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which lasted for how many days? Right. And therefore, the first day was a holy day of the feast. The 15th of Nisan was a holy day. Would Saturday, the 17th, still be a holy day? Sure, it's the weekly Sabbath. And then would the 22nd be a holy day. Definitely, because that'd be the seventh day of the closing of that seven-day feast, which we just read, was also a holy day. High a convocation. Understand? In Matthew 27, verse 46, and about the ninth hour, this is the crucifixion of Jesus. See, about the sixth hour, there with verse 45, there was darkness over all the what?
Right.
Earth. I'm in Matthew 27, I hope. 45. About the sixth hour. Sixth hour would be correspond our 12 noon. Do you understand? Darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour. The ninth hour would be what time? 3 p.m. About 3 p.m. on the day of preparation, which is the 14th of Nisan. 14th of Nisan. They crucified him at the third hour of the day, which would be 9 o'clock in the morning, from 9 to 12 to 3. 9 o'clock to 12, and then 12 there was darkness, and then 3 o'clock, he died. 3 o'clock. At the very moment when the Passover lamb was to be slain by the Hebrews, the Lamb of God that John the Baptist talked about died. You talk about the integrity and accuracy of the word and the greatness of it, sir. It's fantastic. Just tremendous. About the ninth hour, now look at verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up what? He died, yielded up the ghost, yielded up his soul, which is spirit. All life is spirit, but not all spirit is eternal life. Soul life is spirit. And so Jesus died at about the third hour, or that very hour when the Passover lamb, they had to slay the Passover lamb between 3 p.m. our time and before sunset on the 14th of Nisan. Now, this is why it's so easy to work the word, because anybody can count except theologian and religious people. The day before the 14th is what? Before that is what? And the day before that is what? 11th. So the 11th has to be on the first day of the week, which we call Sunday. The first day of the week we call Sunday. You see, when you look at this, this is sunset. Like sunset on Sunday, on Monday here, sunset would start on Saturday, back in here, according to our reckoning, understand? It would start Sunday, the 11th of Nisan would start at sunset on what we call, what? You got it. On what we call Saturday, sunset would start the first day of the week for those who were living at that time in the Hebrew calendar. So today is the 11th of Nisan. It's the first day of the week. It's called, we call it Sunday. Now the Gospel of Mark. Mark 11, is what occurred on Saturday. That's what occurred on Saturday. Now Mark 11, 20. Is what occurred on Sunday, or the first day of the week, the 11th of Nisan. Mark 11, verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. On Saturday, he had entered into the city or headed toward the city, and it occurred what it says in Mark 11, 12, 19, where he cursed a fig tree. But now it's Sunday. The following morning, he comes to Jerusalem. He comes to Jerusalem, and you have this record. In verse 20, in the morning, on Sunday morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree that he had cursed on Saturday, and it was dried up from what? The roots. And that occurred on Sunday. This Sunday of Nisan the 11th, the Sunday before the resurrection appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was crucified here on the 14th, he was buried before sunset on here, and if you take from here over to here, you have 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and he got up before sunset on the 17th, because the fourth day started, which was what we call Easter Sunday, the 18th of Nisan. He arose on Saturday. According to Matthew 12:40, Jesus Christ would be in the grave 3 days and three nights. So here you have him, 24 hours, 24 hours, 24 hours. But he had to get up sometime before what? Sunset. He had to be buried over here before sunset. It does not say in the word he'd be dead 3 days and three nights. It said he'd be, Matthew 12:40, he'd be in the what? Grave 3 days and three nights. Boy, that stuff used to bother my head, because I had nothing but tradition in my stupid head either. But when you look at it honestly, if you're dead, are you dead? Do you get any deader than dead? Then why didn't God raise him 5 seconds after he was dead? Why didn't he raise him 5 minutes after he was dead? Why didn't he raise him 1 hour after he was dead? Because you can't get any deader than what? Boy, oh boy. Then there must be a tremendous reason why the scripture doesn't talk about him just being dead. It said he would be
Matthew 12:40. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Why? Well, he fulfilled the law, did all that other stuff. Tremendous reasoning. And it was a shocker to me when I read the word and I found out it just wasn't dead. He was to be buried. He died at 3 o'clock, the very hour when the Passover lamb, because Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. Don't you understand? That year. They didn't know it, but he was. And he died at the very hour. The rest of them were killing other lambs. He laid down his life. But then they buried him before sunset, because sunset was a new day. And he was buried here. Let's say they buried him at 5 o'clock. So it's 5 o'clock Wednesday to 5 o'clock Thursday, 24 hours. 5 o'clock Thursday to 5 o'clock Friday, 24 hours. 5 o'clock Friday to 5 o'clock Saturday, how many? So he was buried 3 days and three what? And he still got up on the third day because God had a whole hour to get him out. Then your Bible fits like a hand in a glove. And it makes sense. It's just perfect, people. Just a tremendous thing. Then, going back here, we got this, got him up. We're a little early. We got to go back to the 11th over here, okay? On this Saturday over here, he had put the screws to that fig tree. And when Jesus comes back in on Sunday, the 11th of Nisan, the tree is dried up from the roots. Trees don't dry up that way. Your first sign of a death of a tree is in the leaf. This one, as I call it, just died backwards. It died from the bottom up. Well, no wonder Peter was a little shook. Because Peter, he got shook a lot of times by the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at verse 21. Peter, calling to remembrance, says to him, Master, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed, which you put, you know, the screws on, is what? Peter was really shook. And Jesus answering saith unto them, not only unto Peter, but everybody else that was there, have the believing of God, have faith, or believing in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not what? In his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, verse 24, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received and you shall have, is the text. The greatest law in the whole world, Jesus Christ taught to Peter and the rest that particular morning as they were coming into the city of Jerusalem. And they were heading for the temple. Now, that's what occurred on that Sunday. But that's not all that occurred. In the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Verse 18. Now, in the morning, as he returned, where? Into into. Do you see that word? Well, write it in all capital letters in your head. They returned where? Into the city. He was what? 100. It is Sunday, the 11th of Nisan. He is into what? But on Saturday, when he cursed the fig tree that he cursed on Saturday was not in the city. It was outside. So on Sunday morning, as they came toward the city, Peter said, "Hey, Lord, look what happened over here on that tree." And he taught them the great law of believing. But they came into. Did you read it? It's accurate in every text. When they had come into the city. Got it? Into the city. He, Jesus, was what? And he saw a what? Right. Now, why couldn't he see a fig tree on Saturday and one on Sunday? You know, you can see an apple tree on Saturday and see one on Sunday, can't you? Why is it that they always want to attribute error or contradiction to the Word of God? Why not just leave it set and try to understand the Word? You see, the cloak of tradition has so shrouded men's minds they can hardly ever see. In the morning, Nisan 11, they came into the city and Jesus was hungry. Now that does not mean he was starved to death. But you know, it's like a 10 o'clock coffee break for you people. A cookie time. Okay. No. He was, I guess, sort of human, wasn't he? The Bible says he was a man. And so he was and hungered. And the figs are like delicious chocolate from Europe. None of this American stuff with all that paraffin crap in it. You know, they feed you chocolate with half paraffin, or how do you pronounce that? But don't make any difference, but it ain't very good. He was hungry. And he came to it and he found nothing thereon. Verse 19. But the leaves only. And said unto it, "Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever, and presently..." Presently, presently. And that word presently is the word immediately. Presently, right away, booms quick, right now. Presently, the fig tree, what? Withered away. This one back here didn't wither away immediately. It died from the roots over what? Night. Next morning, it was gone. This one over here was in the city, people, in the city. He put the screws to it, cursed it, and it died how? Boops! There it went. Presently, immediately. Boy, oh boy. Why haven't other people been able to see this? Because they don't read what's written. They do not believe that the Word of God is the will of God. That means what it says what it means. They just do not read what's written. I just make you people read what's written. Presently. And I forgot what verse I was. What verse? 19. Yeah. Presently. The fig tree. Immediately the fig tree. Oh my. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled. they dropped their eyeballs or their teeth or something. They really, oh. They said, oh, my God, that thing withered away, ooh, right before our eyes. Jesus answered and said unto them in verse 21, I say unto you, if you have believing and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to this fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, go jump in the lake, be thou moved and cast in the sea, it shall be what? Done. And then verse 22, look at this one. All things that are promised in the word to the believers, people. All things. Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall lambano, you shall receive. People, how far below par we've lived. How far below the believing privileges we've lived. Because religion has cloaked us with their tradition. We've been brought up in a religious society called Christian, which is not Christian because it's contrary to the Word. Christianity is what the Word says it is. But we have been brought up to feel like terrible people. You don't amount to anything. You'll never be any good. You're always a bunch of sinners and nothing else. You have no right to claim any of this. That's how we were brought up. And that's why we have never dared to rise up to our believing privileges to believe, to be what we says the what the Word says we should be, to have what the Word says we have, to share what the Word says we have. Look, I didn't write the book. I didn't die for you. But God's only begotten Son did. And He said, in this verse, all things, now it's all that's promised in the Word to a believer, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall absolutely what? Therefore, the problem is not with God, it's with me, sir. The problem is not with God, it's with you, people. It's with so-called Christians. Now you say, well, he taught the same thing he did the day before. No problem, I've already taught a lot of things over twice. Don't you think Jesus Christ have the privilege of teaching it twice? Why, sure. Must be very important, too, that he did it. And it's very unique, very unique. According to the Word of God, whenever anything is doubled, it's established. He had the fig tree here with no what? Fruit, right? He had the fig tree over here with no what? And the fig tree is the tree of Israel. It represents Israel, God's chosen people. I said Israel, I didn't say Jews. Israel, got it? But Israel had no what? Israel had no what? Did it have leaves? Did they look religious? Did they go through the ritual? Did they salaam at the right time? Did they count their beads at the right time? Take the offering at the right time? Have the flowers on the altar at the right time? Did everything right except one thing. What? Didn't believe God. Went through all the shenanigans. They had beautiful leaves. Even polish them. Beautiful leaves. He cursed it. He said, God bless. He said, what difference? The beauty on the outside is counterfeit if you haven't got it on the inside. They had never would have any figs because it didn't have any buds. And before it could have figs, it had to have buds. Just like an apple tree, before it can have apples, got to have some buds, don't it? So the fig tree. People, twice, relating to Israel, then it would be established that Israel was not having any, what, fruit. Now, one more remarkable thing about it. This one was outside of the city. This one was where? In. How do you like that one? Not only did they not have any fruit all over the land, but they had no fruit right at the heart where the religious echelon existed. In the heart of the city of Jerusalem itself, the so-called holy city, there was no life, no fruit, nor was there any all over Israel. That's why the two fig trees, people, that's why. Don't you see it? What a tremendous word of God. And this, what did I do? This all happened here on this Sunday. Now these scriptures in here on this Sunday include everything that happened on that Sunday of the 11th of Nisan. And people, two of the greatest discourses of all time and of all life were given by the Lord Jesus Christ on this, the 11th of Nisan, when he went into Jerusalem that day and went to the temple. And everything that occurred in Jerusalem that day is recorded in Matthew 21:18 to 26:5. And in the Gospel of Mark 11, Mark 11:20 to 14:2. And the Gospel of Luke chapter 20 verse 1 through chapter 22 verse 2. Here's a tremendous teaching in the Word of God, people. How things which are similar, they have said are identical. And that's where the confusion comes in. If they're similar, they're not what? If they're identical, there can be no what? Variation. No discrepancy, no variation. He can't curse this one on a Saturday and find it withered up on Sunday. Curse this one on a Sunday morning and it immediately disappears and the two be identical. Could they be similar? Definitely. And they are. Now, we go on. Mark chapter 11. Boy, isn't this wonderful to put the whole day together for you. Mark chapter 11. This whole day of the first day of the week preceding what we call Easter Sunday or the first day of the week, which would be the 18th. Now, you'll always notice that our Sunday here starts on a Saturday because these lines here are our days of the week, but they would start already. Monday started already on Sunday night in Jewish reckoning, understand? So don't get screwed up on those papers now, okay? Mark 11. Mark 11, verse 27. And they came, and they come again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking, he came where? Into the temple. verse 27. There came to him, look at it, chief priests, scribes, and what? Elders. Now, if you keep your finger maybe here, go to Matthew 21, verse 23. They're in the temple now. The cursing of that fig tree, which withered away immediately, is over with. They keep walking. They get toward the temple. And Matthew 21, 23. Also has this truth. And when he was come into the temple, it's identical truth, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was doing what in the temple? And they said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee what? Jesus Christ was confronted by the chief priests, the scribes, the elders. He was confronted in the temple by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians. Ordinarily, the Pharisees wouldn't talk to the Sadducees. And the Sadducees wouldn't talk to the Pharisees, and neither the Sadducees or the Pharisees would talk to the Herodians. But now they had a common purpose. And you know, you can bring a lot of screwy people together under one umbrella if you got the right cover. They were after Jesus. And it's the first time in the Scriptures that you ever got the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Herodians together. And that was to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they always fight each other. So they all got together and they said, "Whoo! By what authority you do this? Who are you?" See? And then Jesus gives this great discourse in the temple. And that discourse, as I told you, these cover all the Scriptures, but this specific discourse in the temple, I want to give it to you in broken down form, is recorded in Matthew 21, 23, which I just read, through, that ain't on your Scripture, that ain't on your paper, you got to put it down if you want it. It's included there. But I'm giving you the temple discourse, Matthew 21, 23, through chapter 23, verse 39. The Gospel of Mark has the identical record from Mark 11, 28, through chapter 12, verse 44. And the Gospel of Luke has it in chapter 20, verse 1, through 21, verse 4, one of the greatest discourses in the whole Word of God occurred in the temple that morning of the 11th of Nisan that I spoke to you about. Now in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 1, and as he went out of the temple, okay, the temple discourse is completed. Now, on that Sunday, he is leaving the temple, right? Okay, and as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. They had had the discourse in the temple. Then after the discourse in the temple and the teaching in the temple, Jesus left the temple. He went out of the temple. And as he went out, one of his disciples, it doesn't say who it was, it just said, one of the disciples said unto him, Master, see what the beauty of this, the stones, the building, so forth. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be what? Thrown down. So neat. This temple was the Herodian temple. Wasn't Solomon's, because that had been destroyed a long time ago. This was the Herodian temple. They had started to build this temple in 20 B.C. It was finally completed in 64 A.D. The Roman Emperor Titus destroyed it in 70 A.D. Jesus Christ, that day, made a statement of truth to them when he said, Seest thou these great buildings? Not even completed yet. Never completed till 64 A.D. He said, There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be what? In 70 A.D. 64 to 70, 6 years after it was completed, the Roman Emperor Titus totally destroyed it, not one stone left upon it. Jesus gave that prophecy on this wonderful day back here on Sunday, the 11th of Nisan. So they left the temple. That's what happened. And as they headed out the temple, they went toward the Mount of Olives. And that record is in Mark 13. And this is the great Mount of Olives discourse, the second great discourse that occurred on the 11th of Nisan, a Sunday, a first day of the week. Look at verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, over against the temple, away from the temple, they could see it. Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed lest any man deceive you. That is the great Mount of Olives discourse regarding the return of Christ to Israel. This full record was in Mark 13, 3 through 37. It's in Luke chapter 21, verses 7 through 38. And it's in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, through chapter 25, verse 46. That's the great Mount of Olives discourse, which occurred on this, the 11th of Nisan, the day Jesus Christ was in Jerusalem. First you had the temple discourse. Then he left the temple and he had the questions regarding that temple. Then they go out to the Mount of Olives and you have the great discourse by Jesus Christ regarding Israel and the return. It is for our learning, but it is not to us because the mystery was not known to Jesus Christ. than in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, people. Tonight ought to take the cloak of tradition off of it for all of you people who have ears to hear and eyes to see regarding this wonderful first day of the week of the 11th of Nisan. Matthew 26, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that which he had taught, that which he had taught in the temple, that which he had discussed as they left the temple, that which he had talked about as they were sitting on the Mount of Olives. When he had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know, that after 2 days is the feast of. The word feast of is in italics in your Bible, have to be scratched. Is the Passover. And the Son of Man is betrayed to be what? Crucified. After 2 days. Sunday, he said this, after 2 days. Monday was the first day. Tuesday was the second day. After 2 days would be what? That's exactly what he said. That's what he meant. Which brings us to the 14th of Nisan, the day on which the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. All of this occurred on that Sunday, the 11th of Nisan. The day of preparation was the 14th, the 14th of Nisan. The Passover, the reason we got to get rid of the word feast is because preparation for the Passover lamb already began on what day? The 10th. So, you know, it's like preparing for a holiday. You start doing baking the cookies and all that other stuff days ahead, right? You women. So as men can enjoy it. So the Passover lamb was already... See, the Passover was already beginning before it got to the place of the eating of the lamb. Do you understand? That's why this whole period is called the preparation. But the day of preparation, the day of the preparation of the lamb, finally for eating, was the 14th. And it was the day of preparation that Jesus Christ was crucified. And he was crucified, as I said, and died on that same hour when the lamb, Passover lamb, was slain. He was our Passover. He who knew no sin became sin so we could become the righteousness of God. They killed him. Not in the true sense, he allowed himself to die. Because no man could take his life until he took sin upon himself. Because he was totally immortal as long as he had no sin. But he became mortal sin when he took it upon himself here at this period of time. And by 3 o'clock on this 14th of Nisan, he gave up the ghost, which is his soul. He just laid down his life and he died. And the day closes on Matthew 26. This day closes with the assembling together of what? Verse 3. The chief priests, Matthew 26, scribes, elders of the people. They went under the palace of whom? The high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted, talked things over with him, planned that they might take Jesus by subtlety, trickery, trick him into it some way or other, and do what? Kill. Jesus Christ always stirred up the religious echelon because of their error and his truth. Truth always upsets the religious echelon. The chief priests, the scribes, the elders, the Sadducees, Pharisees, Herodians were all upset about Jesus Christ. And so government men at the top echelon with religious men get together to do a job on Jesus Christ. They still work the same way. Solomon once said, there's nothing new under the sun. And so they conspired to kill him. How to do it? And verse 5 says, but they said, Not on the feast, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the what? We want to get rid of him, but let's not get too caught up in this thing that we get an uproar among the people, and we're the ones that finally get all attacked and so forth, because the feast started here at sunset. And that is why they conspired to kill him, but they said, let's do it before the what? Feast. Else we're going to have a mob on our hands. We don't want that. And this is the reason why, after they had all this figured out, later on this day, the soldiers came, break the legs of the first and of the other when they came to Jesus. They found he was what? Dead already. They wanted to be sure that nothing occurred to disrupt the feast. This 11th of Nisan, people, is one of the great days in the life and history of Christ Jesus, God's only begotten Son. The temple discourse, the discussion as he walked with his disciples and apostles, and the discourse on the Mount of Olives stand as great cornerstones of truth in the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And every jot and every tittle of what he said and spoke that day is going to be fulfilled. Thank you for allowing me to teach you one of the great days in the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're wonderful, and I love you. Thank you.